Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Chick-fil-A will now allow some antibiotics in its chicken, overturning a 2014 commitment to use only antibiotic-free chicken. Since 2019, all Chick-fil-A restaurants were serving 100% antibiotic-free chicken. To maintain the supply of high-quality chicken you expect from us, Chick-fil-A will shift from no antibiotics ever, NAE, to no antibiotics important to human medicine, NAIHM, starting in the spring of 2024, which is, right now. According to the announcement, chicken antibiotics will only be used if the animal and those around it were to become sick. The antibiotics used to treat the poultry are not intended for humans. In accordance with FDA requirements, all antibiotics must be cleared from the chicken system before it's considered available for the chicken supply. Now, the United States Department of Agriculture audits and verifies that suppliers are meeting the requirements of the Chick-fil-A NAIHM commitment. And, you know, we trust them. As we looked into the future, Chick-fil-A continues, the availability of high-quality chicken that meets our rigid standards became a concern. This change enables us to not only ensure we can continue to serve high-quality chicken, but also chicken that still meets the expectations of our customers. Oh, that's so good. Got it. It was too difficult. So they're not the first, and they probably won't be the last. Sure, they pledged 10 years ago, no antibiotics ever. Sure, they began doing it 5 years ago. That was so long ago. I mean, how old were you 5 years ago? Now they're pledging no antibiotics important to human medicine. Alrighty then. Yes, the mighty have fallen. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Well, they got him. Yes, they got him. The U.S. Marshals Service in Philadelphia took Isaiah Robert Tilghman, T-I-L-G-H-M-A-N, 33, into custody. And he's been on the run since December after he was arrested on drug charges and parole violations. After his escape, he stole a red 2011 Ford F-150, which they then found later. But he was arrested this past Friday. If you're listening live, today is Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. And apparently they followed him as he drove a black BMW. No word on where he got that car. To a Planet Fitness. Also no word on whether he used the men's or women's changing area at Planet Fitness. Remember, this guy broke out of prison in December. He escaped the prison facility in Pennsylvania through a ventilation shaft. He reportedly used his jail clothing to make a rope that he used to climb to a nearby platform, and he managed to slip through an unsecured window and onto the roof. So they got him. You can feel safer now. He is, he's busted. The U.S. Marshals said he's being held in Philadelphia, and he'll be soon moved back to Blair County to face additional charges. So, whew, I know I feel better. What's weird is how they spotted him. So the agents spotted him, and they proceeded to follow him to a Planet Fitness. So they waited until he exited the gym instead of going in. It's amazing. I mean, good. I'm glad that they did that. But, we had the story this last week where they busted down a door of this guy in Arkansas. And I get it wasn't the U.S. Marshals Service. But, they busted down the door at 6 a.m. to serve a search warrant. But this guy, who's a fugitive, they waited until he came out of Planet Fitness. I just find it interesting how those decisions are made and who makes those decisions. Last week we talked about Mackenzie Scott, used to be Mackenzie Scott Bezos, who gave away another $640 million in donations. And now it's being, she's getting blasted because she didn't give the money to me here at Chewing the Fat. She gave the money to a bunch of left-wing causes, I guess are progressive initiatives such as enabling transgender athletes and legal aid for illegal immigrants and climate change. So, you know, she's taking a beating for that. Listen, it's her money. She can do with it what she wants. I mean, I'm not happy about it that she hasn't given a dime to me, and I'm here for her, but to give money to at any time, she feels the need. Mackenzie, I am here for you. We've covered that. But, you know, she can do what she wants with her money. You can blast her all she wants or who she gives it to, but it's her money. She gets to do with it what she wants. Like the billionaire's wife in Minnesota, Kathy Cargill, the spouse of billionaire James Cargill II, one of the heirs to the food industry behemoth Cargill Inc., started raising eyebrows over this past year after splurging about $2 million in 10 homes in Park Point, which is this beautiful 7 mile long Lake Superior sandbar in Duluth. It's actually beautiful when you see all these homes along the sandbar. It is gorgeous. So she bought about 20 houses and she was gonna, I don't know, knock them down, build new ones for family members. She owns one house that she's having redone, and they want to know, hey, what are you doing with the money? What are you doing? How come you're not helping me? And she now says, you know what? I'm not going to help the small-minded community. I planned on beautifying, updating, and fixing up Park Point or putting up the sports court. Forget it. There's another community out there with more welcoming people than that small-minded community. She said, hey, you know what? I'm still going to, you know, rebuild my house that I'm working on. And I planned on having a little house for one of my relatives. I'm still probably going to do that. But my plans to install a coffee shop and pickleball courts and basketball and street hockey, yeah, those are out the window, okay? I think an expression that we all know, don't pee in your Cheerios. Well, that's what she thinks they did, those small-minded people in the neighborhood. Yeah, I spent $2 million on 10 homes, and then I bought at least another 10 homes for a total of 20. I'm buying up the whole thing. And you ingrates canceled all my ideas to help better the area. Well, let me tell you something. I got rid of those properties because they're pieces of crap. And there's other neighborhoods I can help out. So Kathy Cargill is not going to be helping out the neighborhood. Although she's still going to have her little vacation home there. It is a beautiful strip of land. And it'll be a beautiful place to vacation in. At least for her. Everyone else can take a hike. Because those plans are out the window now. I'm not going to do anything to benefit this community. I will say, I don't think it's unreasonable that the neighbors and the mayor, the city, would like to have her reveal her plans to city officials. I don't think that's unreasonable, but it is to her. She wants nothing to do with you people, and I can do whatever I want with my money, and you can just back off, okay? She's been buying houses at, overly asking price for sure. One guy said, yeah, I sold my home to her for more than double its value. I'm out. Good luck. God bless. So when you go visit Park Point, that scenic neighborhood along a 7 mile long Lake Superior sandbar, and you see empty houses and other houses knocked down to the ground, just know that they belong to Kathy Cargill, and she is having none of you saying anything bad about her. Got it? Got it. So I'm reading this story about a guy that I guess he was in a group of people that won a $1.765 billion jackpot from the lotto, and he lives in California. And it says in the story that people are worried about him because he purchased it at this local store, and it's a rural town, and they're concerned about his safety and security because in the story it says California law mandates jackpot winners be named along with their location. And I believe that's true in like 15 other states where they, you know, you have to know who won. But it doesn't mandate that there has to be, you know, your location. What's named is the location of where you bought the ticket. your name and the location of where you bought the ticket. Now, in California, you have a year to cash in the ticket, which is why I always said, sign the ticket, put it in a safe, get your ducks in a row so that, you know, and you should not be giving information that they don't need. The bare minimum of information is what you need to give. That's it. And they said in this story that he hasn't been home in a while. Yeah, I don't know that he's coming back. maybe he will in a few years after, you know, the hullabaloo dies down. But he hasn't been at his house since he won the money. So, oh, I thought it was only 15. I guess there are most of the states make you disclose your name and where you purchased the ticket. Only 11 states in the nation allow winners to remain anonymous. Okay, well, I mean, that's fine. I get the whole thing of, you know, wanting to be open about who won the lotto. I get that. But don't disclose more information than you need to, and for sure, have your ducks in a row before you go collect the money. We have a new Mega Millions drawing coming up tomorrow. I know, Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. There's been, I think, 30 drawings without a winner. So they're at $1.1 billion, $525.8 million cash payout. Just incredible. And then the Powerball, which is tonight, is only $800 million. either one, I'm willing to take. $800 million tonight, $384.8 million cash payout. So it'd be kind of sweet. We've talked about it a bunch. I started talking about it because nobody had won, and now nobody's won for a long time. So they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, the billion, the $1.1 billion, is the eighth largest of all time, and the $800 million is the 12th largest of all time. Now, I read a story today that talked about it's the fifth largest. That's just Mega Millions. There are like three Powerballs that were one, two, and four of the biggest lotteries of all time. The largest lottery was the $2 billion one, November of 2022. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I would be happy to have this lotto drawing tonight go back to, you know, $20 million after I won. That would be nice. Of course, I would be happy if you won, but not as happy as if I won. For instance, think how happy you would be if you needed medicine and couldn't get it, but you had it in something called the Jace case. Well, you can make that happen at jacemedical.com. Jacemedical.com. Look, it's great if anytime you need medication in a hurry, you could just go and get it from the pharmacy. But the vast majority of medicine we take in the United States is manufactured in China now. So when drug shortages appear, as they often do now, they're the ones handling it, not us. You want the ability to take care of your family's health, no matter what the situation. That's why you need the Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains five essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections, and Jace is continually worked to expand their medication offerings. They've even added ivermectin as an option in the Jace case. Plus, you can buy a gift card for your family or loved ones so that they can get a Jace case of their own and personalize it to their needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. Get yours today. Think how happy you'll be when you need medicine and you can't get it at the pharmacy, but it doesn't matter because you have the Jace case. JaceMedical.com. JaceMedical.com. You can enter the code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at checkout for a discount on your order. That's the promo code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at JaceMedical.com. JaseMedical.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So, is it going to happen or not? So, billionaire mining tycoon from Australia, Clive Palmer, has now revived his idea of building Titanic 2. I don't know. The documentary did not end well. And I would say, no, how about we not do that? But he claimed, back in, 2012 that he was going to build it, and then nothing came of it. Well, now he is penciled in 2027 for the launch. Telling an audience at the Sydney Opera House, we are very pleased to announce that after unforeseen global delays, we have re-engaged with partners to bring the dream of Titanic 2 to life. Let the journey begin. Oh, that is awesome. Isn't it, though? No, I mean, that is awesome. I'm not getting on that thing. But Palmer's idea is for a 56,000 gross ton, nine-deck ship to carry 2,435 passengers with the same interior spaces and cabin layout as Titanic. The 835 cabins, 383 would be in first class, 201 in second, and 251 in third. The grand staircase under a large iron and glass dome, illuminated by a 50-degree light crystal chandelier, would wind down many of the decks. Okay, so it's an 882-foot-long diesel-powered ship. Would reflect those in the original, with traditional dining rooms, ballroom, indoor pool, Turkish baths, theater, smoking room, old-fashioned gym. He previously hinted that period costumes would be provided in cabins for guests to dress up and that they could pay a premium to experience all three classes during the ocean crossing. Oh, that's nice. I want to go down with the unwashed masses. He said he would travel in third class with the unwashed masses. I want some Irish stew with people who don't know me. I'll go incognito. Oh, that's so special. there's a bunch of naysayers saying, I don't think you're going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to pull it off. And we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of naysayers out there. Plus, I mean, it seems like bad juju to revisit the old Titanic. But hey, what do I know? Be sure to follow me on all the socials, on X at JeffyJFR. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can always email the show, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. And you can always order a cameo from me. That's not free, at JeffyJFR on Cameo. I see where we see the biggest podcasts on Spotify. Spotify now has a way that you can disclose, you see how many followers podcasts have on the platform, just Spotify. And this is going to come as a surprise to you, but Joe Rogan is number one. I know, Chewing the Fat isn't quite up there with Joe Rogan Experience. He has 14.5 million podcast views or listeners on Spotify. That's number one, far and away number one. I mean, number two is TED Talks Daily at 5 million. So Joe Rogan almost three times that of number two. Just amazing. So I see we're on purpose with Jay Shetty is down there at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 at 2.3 million. I like a lot of what Jay says. I like below on purpose with Jay Shetty, though, is Serial Killers at 2.2 million. That makes me, I don't know why that makes me happy, but it does. And the top 15, Chewing the Fat, this show is not in the top 15. Very, very disappointing. But thank you for listening to Chewing the Fat. I do really appreciate it. And again, this is just Spotify. It's not other platforms. So who knows? You know, I may be in the top 15 on another platform. Speaking of being in the top 15, I see my movie, The American Society of Magical Negroes, has dropped, 75%. It's was only 130,000. It's still in the top 15. Got a number 13 this week. It's at $1,894,755. That does not seem good for the American Society of Magical Negroes. And it looked like it'd be worth a watch. So I'll see it when it comes on Netflix. Bob Marley, One Love, still number 10 at $94 million. Wow, that movie has made $94 million. Number one this week, though, was Ghostbusters Frozen Empire at $16 million. Frozen Empire, congratulations to Ghostbusters. Dune Part Two still hanging in there, $4.5 million. They are already at 220 $1,258,543. Good for them. And then Kung Fu Panda, number three. Immaculate, this is their first week. They only got $2 million. Ooh, they're in fourth place. This is their first week. Anyway, and Late Night with the Devil came first week. It came in number six. So Cabrini dropped down. Cabrini's made $15 million. Good for Cabrini. That dropped down to number nine. So American Society for Magical Negroes is down to number 13. So it won't be long before it hits the streaming. Wow, and I see SAG-AFTRA members voted overwhelmingly to approve a new TV animation contract. Congratulations. The new animation voice acting agreement was ratified 95.52%. Wow. Total voter turnout was not revealed. The new contract includes 7% raise, backdated to July of last year, as well as protections against so-called artificial intelligence software. That's according to the Guild. Good for them. I'm a fan. If you need a voice for anything, I'm a voice actor here for you. Especially since we all got a raise. So I'm all up for that raise. So congratulations for the SAG-AFTRA members. One SAG-AFTRA member, I'm sure she's a SAG-AFTRA member, Megan Fox, did an interview on Call Her Daddy, which is one of the top shows on Spotify. And she opened up about her plastic surgery experiences. Yeah, no kidding, Megan. We know. We know you're on your way to clown face. Okay, you're almost there. You've for sure done more than three cuts. So you're on your way. That my theory holds true to three cuts to clown face with Megan. First one is great. Second one is okay, but not as good as the first. Third one isn't quite as good as the second one, and for sure not as good as the first. And you just keep going, and before you know it, clown face. So she talked about all her plastic surgery experiences, including her pre-op routine. She says she requires all her surgeons to follow because she wants to make sure there's no bad energy. I think we all can agree on that. Anytime we have surgery, we want no bad energy. So she says that she responds poorly to general anesthesia. So she demands that her doctors tell her if they've seen any bad omens before cutting into her. And I'm sure they tell her the truth. So Megan admits to having had three separate boob jobs and insists that she's only had her nose worked on once, despite what some people think. She also teases a mystery surgery she's had as well, but wouldn't disclose what that was. She said she has considered a BBL, that's the Brazilian butt surgery, but she doesn't have the body for it. Yeah, calm down, Megan. You don't need the Brazilian butt, okay? She also talked about drinking blood that her and Machine Gun Kelly, her love, they've been accused. You know, she said, no. It's more innocent than just being satanic. Come on now. It's like two kids putting their bleeding thumbs together on a playground when they think they've found their soulmate. Myself and MGK, we share that kind of bond. So she also got pretty graphic. I've got to hear this podcast with a comparison in making her point, saying she finds girls. Wait a minute. She also got pretty graphic comparison in making her point. So I guess being bleeding thumbs, saying she finds girls who engage in oral sex so freely to be way more gross than anything she's doing with her man. So oral sex is a lot more than what she's doing as far as sucking the blood of Machine Gun Kelly. Got it. Okay. So lots of interesting things from Megan. And for sure, three cuts to clown face. There's no doubt about that. She is well on her way to clown face. And look, she's still a good looking woman, but she's not the young girl she was, and she wants to be. I get that. it's Hollywood. She wants to work. She's got MGK telling her she's so hot. Why don't you get boob jobs and get tummy tucks and get a nose job and make yourself better? But when I look at her, she's just, you know, she's not the young, hot babe that she used to be. And instead of owning up to that, she's on her way to clown face. And some would be sad about that. I say, Megan, go for it. You want to be clown face? Have at it. So we can't go to Haiti. So what do you think? We visit Ecuador? Ooh, no, we can't do that either. Who died today? Who died today? Ecuador's youngest mayor, Bridget Garcia, and a staffer were found shot dead in a car early this past weekend. Oh, is that it though? Yeah, hey, the country is just in the grips of a wave of violence that, you know, authorities are blaming on drug trafficking. So the national police said they are investigating the deaths of Garcia, the 27-year-old mayor of San Vicente, right? San Vicente. And I don't know how to pronounce her Dubois name. J-A-I-R-O, Lure, L-O-O-R. That was her communications director. And they were found in a car with gunshot wounds. And by the way, the police say the gunshots came from within the car. So is it a suicide? No, I don't think so. They claim that, the head of the country said, I just found out that they've assassinated our fellow mayor. Yes, I have no words and shock, and nobody is safe in Ecuador. Nobody. Now, she belonged to former President Rafael Correa's Citizen Revolution Movement Party. And so, have fun. So now, I can't go to Haiti. I can't go to Ecuador. Where could I go? Where could I go? Could I go to, I guess we could visit China, right? Oh, no. No. Who died today? A former executive at Yazoo Games has been sentenced to death because he poisoned his boss. Oh, really? Yeah. The Chinese gaming company, which has links to Game of Thrones and the new Netflix series, the series which I almost watched this weekend, The Three-Body Problem, I should have. Apparently, Zhu Yao poisoned the founder, Lin Qi, and he poisoned him over a dispute of running the business. So most guys don't poison, right? Women poison. Guys just, I don't know, knife, shoot, strangle, whatever. Most men don't poison. But he's been sentenced to prison and he died. So we can't go to China. So we can't go to Haiti. We can't go to Ecuador. We can't go to China. Maybe we could visit Russia. Oh, no, we can't do that because now Russia mourns concert victims. 137 people were killed in a terror attack at a concert venue in Russia. Wow. And according to Vladimir Putin, you know, the new president, newly elected president of Russia, he said, we've arrested four gunmen suspected of carrying out the assault. The Islamic State, ISIS, took responsibility for the massacre, and he said that the gunmen were caught as they were fleeing to Ukraine. Huh. So, the U.S. National Security Spokesman, Adrian Watson, said ISIS bears sole responsibility for this attack. So, now we can't go to Haiti. Now we can't go to Ecuador. We can't go to China. We can't go to Russia. Man, where do I go for vacation now? Well, I guess we just go to France. They've got the Olympics coming up, and they just revived their waiters race. Now, the waiters race, this event began in 1914. It has not been held since 2011 due to lack of sponsors. No one wanted to pay for it. So it's been brought back, though, because, hey, we're running up to the 2024 Summer Olympics, and we want to bring some nice news for France. So it resurrected the 110-year-old race for its restaurant servers. The dash through central Paris celebrated the dexterity and, yes, their own sometimes famously moody men and women without whom France wouldn't be France. Why didn't we watch this? Why wasn't this on ESPN? Oh, that's right, March Madness. This should have been on ESPN, too. Or, I mean, it should have been promoted. I should have been airing this on my YouTube channel. This would have been awesome. So, there are men and women categories. Really strange. I don't think we need to be separating our waiters and waitresses, but apparently we do, because they have a champion in the winners in the women's category and a champion in the men's category. I know. So there were a couple of hundred servers dressed up in their uniforms with their finest bow ties. They loaded up their trays with the regulation pastry, a coffee cup, but there was no coffee in it. It was really weird. And a full glass of water. And they had to go a mile and a quarter, starting and finishing at City Hall. And you, I guess, the most who had the most water left in their glass is the winner. So the runaway winner in the women's category, 14 minutes, 12 seconds, started wagering at the age of 16, is now 34, and said she cannot envision any other life for herself. I love it as much as I hate it. It's in my skin. I cannot leave it. It's hard. It's exhausting. It's demanding. But I love it. It's part of my DNA. Now, the men's champion, Van Wimersch, W-Y-M-E-R-S-C-H, his friends call him Van. He won the men's race in a time of 13 minutes and 30 seconds. Their prizes were medals and two tickets each for the July 26th Olympic opening ceremony along the, you know, for the night out with a Paris hotel. Oh, isn't that special? But I'm really kind of upset that we have a men's and women's category, because we really shouldn't. But I guess, you know, the cafes are the soul of Paris, and that's where, hey, the little bistros is where people go to meet, and they go for coffee, and we get to love and argue and embrace, and it's the our way of life. So congratulations to the winners of the waiters and waitresses race in Paris this past weekend. And if you're thinking, man, I'm not going to be able to make it to Paris for the opening ceremonies, well, NBC's live broadcast of the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony will also be in IMAX theaters, making a first in Olympic history. So on July 26th, spectators in over 150 U.S. locations will experience the grandeur of the games like never before, as athletes parade down the river against the backdrop of Parisian landmarks in stunning IMAX detail. This innovative partnership not only showcases the enduring appeal of the IMAX experience, but also sets a new standard for live event broadcasting amidst a growing renaissance for large format cinema. Is there a growing renaissance for large format cinema? Okay, well, if you say so, to hawk your wares. The Olympic spectacle spotlights IMAX's unique ability to bring collective, awe-inspiring moments to life, possibly pointing to a bright future for big screen events. Yeah, I thought it was now a new standard, and it's a growing renaissance, but it's only going to possibly point to a bright future for big screen events. I mean, it will be a bright future for big screen events. Right. All right, a couple stories I find interesting. 72,000 policies from State Farm Insurance Company in California are being canceled. Yeah, sorry about it. You know what? We're finding out we've got to spend a whole bunch of money. We have had a whole bunch of payouts between wildfires and earthquakes, and we can't do it anymore. We're tired of having to pay out those policies. So we're going to go ahead and pull the plug on 72,000 of those policies, okay? 30,000 homeowners and 42,000 commercial apartment buildings, we're going to pull the plug on. Yeah, I know, but we've got cost increases, and we just can't offer new home policies now in the state. And we're going to pull the plug on these as well, okay? I know. Look, it's cost us a lot of money. Wildfires and earthquakes. Man, we've just had to pay out way too much money. So we're just gonna pull the plug on those 72,000 policies. And State Farm said, look, our decision was not made lightly. So that makes it okay, right? This was done only after careful analysis. What a bunch of BS. But for those 72,000 policies in California, man, oh man, good luck. God bless. And look, we had a big issue like this in Florida too, and it just goes to the government, right? I mean, just homeowners insurance will just go through the government. And that always ends well. So stop your whining. You know, another thing I find interesting is that we keep driving this climate change narrative where we can't use power that's from fossil fuels. We can't do it. And yet, we continue to keep adding products that need to use massive amounts of power of fossil fuels. It's just amazing. I see a story today talking about AI data centers, and they're sprouting up all over the United States. And look, every social media platform has sprouted up their data centers as well. And what's the big thing that AI data centers need? Oh, I know. Energy. They need electricity. So what are we even doing? Why are we, you know, a windmill is not going to keep the data center up and running. And maybe that's the saving grace for AI. Everyone worried about artificial intelligence. Well, it can't do anything without power. So if there's, you know, if there's not a windmill powering the old AI center, maybe we don't have AI. I don't know. I mean, we've got all these businesses building huge AI data centers, and they're going to need electricity to power them. So we're going to have to find a way to power them, and that's probably going to mean going back to fossil fuels, which I am not opposed to. Let's do it. Let's drill. Let's use anything we can, and let's build some nuclear power plants. Let's go. Let's get us back into leading the world in energy creation. Let's do that, please. But as the tech giants, they want it both ways. They want to have cheap and plentiful electricity, but they want to push their climate change agenda as well. You cannot have it both ways. You just simply can't. Okay, let's get out of here today. I'll leave you with a joke for the day. Now, I got an email from Matthew with a joke for the day, and I feel like I've done this joke before. I read it, I laughed, I smiled, I said it out loud to a number of people in my home when I read the email, so thank you, Matthew, for that. But I feel like I've done it on the show before, and so I'm just going to tell you, and it's not going to be the official joke for the day, but this will be the unofficial joke for the day. What's the difference between Iron Man and Iron Woman? One is a superhero. One is a command. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've done that one before. All right, this will be the official joke for the day. A bus full of ugly people crashes into an oncoming truck, and everyone inside dies. Upon reaching heaven, God says, "Since you have died in a terrible way, I will grant you one wish before I let you into heaven." Now, the first woman, always concerned about her looks, comes up to God and says, "I want to be gorgeous." God grants her wish. Now, the second person in line hears this and says, I want to be gorgeous too. Now, this goes on for a while, but when God is halfway down the line, the last guy in line starts laughing. And by the time there were only 10 people left, this guy is rolling on the floor laughing. Now, the closer God gets to the end of the line, the harder this guy laughs. Finally, God reaches this guy and asks him, what wish will you have? The man says, make them all ugly again. See, that's not funny. I shouldn't even have That just isn't funny. It's just mean. And it's just something someone would do if they were just a mean-hearted person. I mean, sure, they were already dead, and they were already getting into heaven. So why not have a little fun at the end? All right, so I didn't write it, but it's just mean. It's just mean is what it is.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.